Tishvat, Wednesday the 4th of February, Rabbi Nehemiah Gottlieb, Choybes Arbobes in a Digital World, Timeless Truths Confront Contemporary Challenges.
So I understand that there was actually a mini crisis surrounding this shiur because it's Tu B'Shvat and we need to have a shiur about Tu B'Shvat and I happen to be in town only today and not about technology. So what's the shaykhis between Peter Seilon and digital technology? So there was a flurry of ideas about Apple and BlackBerry and various other things and Etrog, Etrog and Rimon. But the truth is I decided to resist the temptation of going for the low-hanging fruit. And I want to speak about something which I believe is a more fundamental connection between Tu B'Shvat and our shaykhus of digital technology. And that is our Choybes Arbobes, because as you know, and I'm sure you've heard in many shiurim and drushas, the time at which we have the Rosh Hashanah of Tu B'Shvat is the time when we have the Rav Gishamim, and as Rashi explains, the Sorof is Oyla Be'ilon, the sap has risen in the tree, and then the Peiros can come out. What comes out afterwards is a matter of consequence. Basically, if the sap is there, if the tree is healthy on the inside, the fruit will inevitably blossom in the proper way. And that is what we'd like to discuss today in our digital world, rather than sometimes what I believe is a focus on the fruit, and that is the actions of the Eitz HaSodeh, what we actually do with the technology. Let's focus on the Choybes Arbobes, on the Srafa Ilon, on our internal relationship with digital technology. Because although the Torah is full of many, many actions which we need to do, and even more actions which we should not do. There are many more mitzvahs later, say, than there are mitzvahs asay. It is entirely possible that a person will do all of those actions, he will do all the things that he needs to do, and he will hold back from doing all those things that he shouldn't do, and still we will look at that person and say that in some way they've done all the right things, but in some way they might have missed such a central part of the Torah that we would almost say Iker Chasam in a Sefer. And what is that? That is the Choybes Halavavos. Because the Torah not only commands us what to do and what not to do, the Torah commands us what to think, what to feel, what to love, what to hate, what to hope for, what to aspire to. All of these things are things which the Torah dictates to us. And in truth, as we're saying, in a way, it is the ikur, it is the heart, it's the lave of Torah. And with all the wonderful discussion that we've had in our community over the last number of years about the do's and the don'ts of technology, and it has been a wonderful discussion, a very fruitful discussion, no pun intended, but it seems sometimes that there has been an enormous focus on the do's and don'ts of technology, and everybody knows, I think today, every Erel Chayid knows that it is usur to use internet without a filter. There's been an enormous focus on that. And by the way, I want to say as an aside that when the Chachmei Hadar come together and they say that it's usur to use internet without a filter, that doesn't mean that it's inappropriate. It doesn't mean that's pasnished. It doesn't mean that they've seen, with their wisdom, what we see even without our wisdom, that people who go online regularly without a filter inevitably come to do isurim. It is the kayach of the Chachmei Hadar to go ahead and make isurim and gzeris in specific generations. The easiest parallel which comes to mind is kitnias, which Chazal did not ask for kitnias, but the Chachmei Hadar came together and they asked it, and we're not making the kitnias ki who's that. So it's actually become a maisa iser to go online without a filter. But the truth is that sometimes we feel that because of the important stress on this issue, maybe there has been a lack of concern with the what we'll call the Choybes Arbobes of digital technology. And that is that most people, and I'm here today to talk about to talk about the type of people who are sitting here in this Beis Medrash, Erlecha people, people with Yiras Shamayim, people who care about Torah and Mitzvahs. I'm not here to talk about people who have fallen in to the very, very deep side of the web, or people who are chasson looking, you know, looking to the internet in order to do things which are inappropriate. But most Erlecha people in our community look at digital technology or feel toward digital technology precisely the way the Ummah Sa'ilam surrounding us feel about that technology. And that is that it's great. In truth, there is nothing better than an iPhone. It gives you your ideas, it gives you your email, it gives you your WhatsApp for those of you who are into that. It's your GPS, and you can search things online and your shiurim. I mean, of course, not to mention what a big Talmud Chacham it is, and you know, you can go right ahead and forget everything we learned because we've got it all stored over there. It's gewaldic, it's wonderful, you know, it really is. Now, of course, admittedly, it has some tiny blemishes. And we do, which, as we said before, for sure we have to go ahead and filter it. And I'm sure many people run straight away to the wonderful TAG office, which we have right over here. But basically, we've adopted unthinkingly, uncritically, we've adopted a Gaiusha outlook on this thing. And this is a trap which we fall into many, many times in our stage of Gullus, and that is because. Because the Gullus is such a sweet Gullus, Gullus Gold is Green is a Geschmacka Gullus, and the Goyim, there's no Redifus over here, nobody's pining us, and we share a common language with the people around us, and even if our address is somewhat distinctive, but it's not markedly so. And and the Goyim themselves, by the way, compared to previous eras in Gullus, you know, if you go back 200 or 300 years, and this in and of itself is a startling thought, you know, you walk down the street and you see all of these cultured people, you know, well dressed and cultured and articulate, and they can talk and they can express ideas about who knows what, democracy and other things like that. And you think back 200 or 300 years ago, all of these people were illiterate. They didn't know how to read and write. They were just like, they were farmers. They were tied to the land, and they were barely more intelligent than the farm animals that they were taking care of. So the Goyim themselves have made enormous strides in the last few hundred years in terms of becoming more similar to us. You know, more bringing the Tzelem Elokim to, you know, more to the fore in that way. And this causes us very often uncritically to adopt views from the people around us. Now, I was alerted to this very interestingly when I was in school. I had an interesting experience with it. Made a reishim on me. I remember it until today. I grew up in America, and you people here might not know this, but there was a civil war in America. At one time, there was a fight, you know, between some of the colonies there and the other colonies. So they had a fight, and I don't know if it concerns Her Majesty or not, but that's what was going on for us. And we learned about that history when I was in seventh grade. And I can tell you, I grew up in Baltimore, and I can tell you that in my class, we were all big Hasidim of Abraham Lincoln. Because, I mean, he was the man. He did it. Here it was. We had these the people. We had the blacks, or the African Americans, as we call them today. And they were enslaved, and it wasn't a good thing. And he stood up, and he was willing to fight for it, and so on and so forth. And we were all very excited about that. And one day, a friend of mine, whose father was a Talmud Chacham, he came into class, and he said, "Guess what, guys? The Torah believes in slavery." And we were shocked. Now, we learned Parshas Mishpatim. And we know very, very clearly that there's something called the Eved Ivri, and there's something called the Eved Knani, and you can get into a debate right now whether what happened to the blacks in America was exactly Eved Knani, it's Kibush Mulchama, it's not Kibush Mulchama, it's not important. The important things was that even though we had learned those psukim and we knew them, our values were values which came straight from the Gaisha culture around us. So this is something which, in Gullus, we at this stage in Gullus, where we share so much in common with the Goyim, we have to be very, very careful of this. Now, the interesting thing is that if all of the Chachmei Ha'umos Ha'olam together will get together and unanimously agree on, they'll have an opinion, they'll study something, all the psychologists, sociologists, philosophers, and they'll come to a unanimous opinion. And I am not talking now about a matter of fact, like that penicillin can cure you from certain types of illnesses. But I'm talking about a matter of value, an opinion about something which is correct or incorrect, right or wrong, good or bad. If all of them will get together, and by the way, you know, besides for the near impossibility of people agreeing, they would have to, even if they would put on the side all of their gaiva and all of their negias and all of their shlachtimidus, they don't learn Musar every day, these academics, right? So they've got a lot to do with Gabron. But let's say in an imaginary world that they did that and it was pure seichel and they got together and they came up with a unanimous view, it is almost 100% guaranteed that they would get it wrong. Whatever they would think is going to be wrong. Now, why is that? We say chachma bagoyim tamin. We believe that goyim have wisdom. We don't. I mean, today we see it. We see the wisdom of goyim all around us. So why do I say that if we all come to unanimous opinion, they will most probably get it wrong? And the answer to that is in a pasuk, which the Olam is very familiar with. A pasuk which we learn on a tainis tzibur, and that pasuk is kiloi machshavaysai machshavaysecha. Loi machshavayze machshavayzeichem means that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says to us that my thoughts are not your thoughts. A human mind is not capable of, on its own, thinking the thoughts of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam created the world. He created the world for a purpose. He has, so to speak, machshavayz, thoughts about what the world is here for. And in order to know right and wrong, what is correct or appropriate, we have to know the thoughts of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And people are incapable of doing that. The whole human race is incapable of doing that. This box was not created to discern those type of things. So here's the question. How can one ever know what the machshavas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are if the mind is incapable of figuring them out? And the answer is only if Hashem tells him. If Hashem has to share his machshavos with a person for a person to know them. And he did. That is the Torah HaKadosha. The Torah HaKadosha is a collection of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's thoughts, not all of them, of course, but Eishka came to us and he said, I love you. You're my children. I want to share my thoughts with you. And he did. And he shared some of his thoughts with us. So, in truth, to know what's right and what's wrong, we have to know the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's thoughts, and we have to go ahead and, you know, look in that collection of thoughts which he gave us. The problem is that it's very difficult to get from the Chumash, let's say, to current events. So, we look inside, and we don't see Google or iPods or things like that in the Chumash. So, what are we supposed to do? And the answer is that the only way to know how to apply that to current events, if there will be somebody who is such an expert on understanding the thoughts of Hashem, has dedicated his life to studying them and so on and so forth, and has all the other tnoim that you need in order to understand it, and that person or those people will be such experts that they can take the thoughts of Hashem and apply them to current events. And that concept, those experts, those are G'dayli Yisrael. And that's what Das Torah means. We say Das Torah, Das Torah. That's what Das Torah means. Das Torah means that a person is such an expert on understanding the thoughts of Hashem that they are able to figure out how to apply them to current events. So when we sit here today and we see this digital technology which is taking over the world, and we see that the entire Goyish Welt, it's great, it's a blessing, it's wonderful, there's nothing like it, let's wire up the world 24/7, this is it. As from a Yidden, we immediately have to be alerted, they probably didn't get it right, because all their criteria for figuring things out are irrelevant to knowing the machshavas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as a from a Yid, when I see that they're all going crazy about this and they love it, I say, listen, they probably got it wrong, I have to investigate what the truth is. And the only thing that I can do is go to the people who are experts on the machshavas of Hashem, and in truth, as a community, we should be running to the Gedolei Yisrael, pounding down their doors and saying, what does Hashem think about digital technology? So let me share with you very briefly today what the Gedolei Yisrael tell us. What are the machshavas of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam about this technology? And this is what they say. They say that the Torah discussed digital technology in the first word, Bereishis. Bereishis, and as you know, B'shul Yisrael, Shenikru Reishis. That means that the entire world was created for Klal Yisrael, and as we say, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam creation is not a one-time event. It's not that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam created the world and there's some type of an inertia here which keeps it going as long as he doesn't decide to destroy it. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is constantly recreating the world. And if you notice, it says v'tuvah mechadish b'chol yom tov et ma'aseh bereishis, same word. So just like the initial creation was for reishis b'shul yisrael shenikru reishis, the recreation is b'shul yisrael shenikru reishis. And that means that the things that happen in the world, for sure, world events or world-changing events, like having a digital era, is here for Klal Yisrael. So contrary to what we may think or what we may feel, that the internet is here because, for those of you who know the history, because the American government needed a way to ensure the communications in the Cold War. And Google is here because of Sergey Brin and Larry Page, and they came up with their algorithm called PageRank. And Apple is here because of Steve Jobs, Olav HaShalom, right? And all of those things, that is totally incorrect. The Rabbeinu Shalom put those things in the world, and he put them here for us. And now we have to ask ourselves, what does that mean? What does that mean? How are we supposed to understand that concept that digital technology is here for us? And it comes to mind that there are two ways to understand that. One way is this. The Rabbeinu Shalom looked down at Klal Yisrael, and the Rabbeinu Shalom said, listen, it's been a long, hard gullus, crusades, pogroms, redifas, a holocaust, and so on and so forth. And the Rabbeinu Shalom really looked down on our generation, and the Rabbeinu Shalom saw that Klal Yisrael is still Nebuch suffering terribly. I mean, could you imagine the suffering of a Yiddish kind who, for example, let's say a girl who has to buy a pair of shoes, who Nebuch has to actually schlep to the store and wait online to buy the shoes? I mean, why shouldn't she sit in the comfort of her home and just order it online? Or the suffering of being put on hold with a travel agent for 10 or 15 minutes when you could just go to orbits.com and order yourself a ticket. The Baruch Hashem said, enough, genugshein. We cannot afford the suffering of Klal Yisrael anymore. And he gave us the internet as a blessing in order to take away that suffering. That is one possible explanation. And then there's another explanation, and that is this. That Gullus is here to give us nisyonos. Gullus is here for us to struggle and overcome those struggles. And the gullus has been long and bitter. And in every generation there have been terrible nisyonos. Once again, redifas and pogroms, and there was xeris against the Kiyum HaTorah and so on and so forth. And we've just had it good. For the last 50, 60, 70 years, everything's been blossoming, everything's been growing. The gashmius is good, the ruchnius is good, it's just plain too easy. And the Rabbeinu Shlalom looked down at our generation, and the Rabbeinu Shlalom said, it's time for another Nisayon. It will not be that they're going to come with guns, and they're going to shut down the shuls, and they're not going to make Xeris, and they're not going to bar us from certain professions, but I will create a little box, and that little box will go with the person from the morning from when he wakes up, Kipshute, right? Our alarm clock, all the way throughout the day, wherever you go, until a person goes to sleep at night, and that box will be a nisayon. It will be there to shter a person no matter what he's doing. Whether it's tayro, whether it's tefillah, whether it's lamokim, whether it's with your wife, with your kids, with your eniklach, with whoever it is, wherever you are, that thing is a nisayon. It's a shter. It's challenging us in everything that we do. And really, if you go home and take out a pencil and a paper, if you still use those, and make a list of all the areas which are being challenged by digital technology. And that, in truth, is the essence of digital technology. That is the spiritual essence of digital technology. It is a nisayon. That's what it is. And if a person will be able to understand that, and much, much harder than that, not just understand it, but to internalize it, that is the guide to dealing with the digital age. Because our problem is that, going back to what we said at the beginning, is that our levavos, that's our problem. Our problem is that we have very, very warm feelings towards our digital tech. It gives us so much utility, so much power, so much information, so much pleasure, so much entertainment, and that's why we fall for it every time. But if a person can change their mindset and then halavai, change their feelings towards the technology and recognize if what is it? It's a nisayon. Once I understand that it's a nisayon, then everything becomes clear. I want as little connection as possible with that technology. I want as little to do with it as possible. Now, unfortunately, you can't run away. Not one of the Gedolei Yisrael is telling us, let's all move off, go into a cave somewhere and divorce ourselves from digital technology. No, part of the gezeira is that we have to use it, but we have to use it while retaining that feeling. So if a person will understand that, so then it's like a person who's on a massive diet, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason it is, they're at a sheva brachas. All the food is wonderful, and they're stuck there, and it's a family simcha. The person doesn't really want to be there. They're looking at their watch. They want to get out of there, because every second they're there, they feel they're in a nisayon. They don't choose to be there. They're stuck there. Now, in this nisayon, the Yetzer Hara has many, many ways which he attacks us in this nisayon. And I want to just speak for a few moments about one of those ways, because it seems to be something in which he's incredibly successful with many, many people. And that is that a lot of people say, especially that's the people who use the internet without filters, or people who do other, what I would consider risky behaviors with the digital technology, the person says, look, you know, I'm not looking for schmutz. I'm not looking to do something inappropriate. I'm not that type of person. That's not what I do. Doesn't interest me. I'm just going about my business. I don't need those protections. Maybe younger people or other people or people who don't have a life or whatever. Every person with their sprach, however they say it, they explain that you know, this is not really their type of a Yetzer Hara. They don't do those things, and it's you know, some people almost consider it an affront that somebody would even think that they might be tempted to do such things, and therefore, you know, if their pride and their dignity doesn't even allow them to have those safeguards. And that is also that type of a mindset is also something which we have uncritically adopted from the culture around us. Because there is a great falsehood in Western culture which says, good people do not do bad things. Nice, upstanding, moral people don't do bad things. And that is entirely false. And every once in a while, somebody who's supposed to be a poster boy for the good people does something very, very bad, and they get caught, and then they stand up and they mumble, I'm sorry for the momentary lapse of judgment, and whatever they say. And then they continue believing that thing that they don't do it. Now, that is opposite of what the Torah tells us. The Torah tells us, that everybody until the day of death must suspect themselves that they might do bad things. The Torah tells us, you're all familiar with the Rashi about Yitzchak in the beginning of Parshas, Yitzchak Avinu in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, where Yitzchak Avinu was in his 120s. And it says, Elokei Yitzchak, and Rashi comments on the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam does not place his name on a tzaddik who's alive for fear that maybe Chas v'Shalom, something will go wrong. And he says, well, Yitzchak Avinu, he was iver, he was blind, and he was kolob habayis, he was cooped up in his house, and he was nechshav kemeis, he was half dead, and he was pasak imenu Yetzer Hara, he didn't have a Yetzer Hara anymore. So Yitzchak Avinu, the oila tmima, at the age of 120-something, only because of all these reasons, Rabbi Yitzchak said, you know what? Rabbi Yitzchak is a fair bet. Okay, I'll take the risk on Rabbi Yitzchak. He's probably going to make it to the end of his life. So, and why does the culture around us? Why do they have this? Why do they create this falsehood? The reason is very, very simple. Because they want to have a culture in which you're allowed to think about bad things all day. You're allowed to be chaymed bad things all day. You're allowed to look at bad things, watch bad things. So it's important to think about it because that's what they love to do, and that's what a lot of their entertainment is based on. And the only way to do that is by saying, well, but I would never do it. You have to say that. Now the Torah has put up that. The Torah says, don't think about this, and don't look about that, and don't contemplate that, and so on and so forth, because the Torah is based on the emes, on the fact about human nature, that, you know, that we do. Good people can do bad things. Now, the truth is that it's not just that good people may do bad things. It's deeper than that. Mesilas Yesharim brings down the pasuk that Sefer Rasha LaTzadik Umevakesh LaMisay Hashem LeYazvenu BiYodai. And Chazal learned from that pasuk, Ilmalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizrei Eino Yocholai. If a person has a struggle with the Yetzer Hara, Ilmalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizrei, if not for the divine help which he receives, Eino Yocholai. That means that in any head-on clash between me and the Yetzer Hara, in any test of strength, I lose every single time. He's more powerful than I am. Contrary to what the other culture tells us. He is more powerful than I am. And Chazal are medayek that from the pasuk. Think about the pasuk. Tzayfer Rasha letzadik umevakesh labisa. The Rasha is looking out for the tzadik and he wants to kill him to give him a spiritual death. Well, let's finish the story. The Yetzer Hara is trying to make the tzadik do an Avera. How would we finish the verse? We would say, and the tzadik learned Musar, and the tzadik was mechazik himself. No, it says Hashem. Well, yes, it'll be other. Hashem will not desert him. That is the end of the story. So the question is, well, where does the Bechira come in? Right? We know that we have Bechira, it says in the Makaris, we feel that we have Bechira, and the answer is in the Mesilas Yisharim, as it says, the Mesilas Yisharim says, that Im Adam Mifakeach Al Atzma, Kadosh Baruch Hu Mifakeach Alav, Aval Im Hu Lo Pikach Al Atzma, Mi Yifakach Alav. The person's job is to keep himself far away from Aveira. The person's job is to set up the appropriate safeguards. If the person does that, if he's mifakeach on himself, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu mifakeach alav, and that Hashem gives us the siyata d'shmaya, he gives us, so to speak, superhuman powers. We do the act of bechira with kaiches. All of a sudden, like the Rebbeinu Shalom infuses us with enormous kaiches to be misgabra on the Yetzer Hara. But it only happens when we do the prior act of being mifakeach on ourselves. And if you look there in the Mesilas Yisharim, you'll see that he fears Zeus. He adds on to that a very, very frightening statement. And the frightening statement is, he says, well, if a person is not mifakeach al atzma, he doesn't take the appropriate measures, mi yifakeach alav, and he says, well, goyim ze amu, mi she'en beideya asur l'rachem alav. The Rebbeinu Shalom Kaviyachol says, this man is an idiot. I can't have a chomus on him. I'd love to, but asur l'rachem alav. So, When it comes to these things, when people go ahead, and again, going back to something which happens to many people, they go online without a filter, or they have other types of temptations. And by the way, we must move away from looking at the internet as primarily something which can be machshilos in one of the gimel averus chamuros, and look at it in a more whole way, and think about all the other things which our digital technology can be machshilos in throughout the day. Just looking at that is like a person who, when he thinks about his health, wants to know if he has cancer or not. So yes, Baruch Hashem, had the CAT scan, he doesn't have cancer. There's a lot else that goes into being healthy than just not having cancer. So just the fact that a person has protected himself from the worst of the worst doesn't mean that this thing is contributing to his spiritual health. So the people, and by the way, I want to tell you from having conversations with many, many people, those people who say so clearly, oh, I don't do those type of things, I'm not interested in that, I don't need a filter, many of them have been nichshol already. And they are nichshol occasionally. They're not people who are, you know, serial offenders. They don't go and do that every day. But every once in a while it does happen. And then, of course, they feel that it's inappropriate for themselves. And they decide that they're never going to do it again. And whatever. And they sort of move on from that. But even if a person will come and say, listen, I never did it. I don't have a taiva for it. It's not nogeya to me. Then the answer is, that's correct. You know why you never did it? Is because you never had the taiva. You were never tested. But the Mesilas Yisharim is telling you on the basis of Chazal that on the day that you will be tested, you will fall. Because Rabbeinu Shlomo says, you have not placed any safeguards. I cannot sit here and give you that that supernatural koyach in order to be mezgaber. So, here we are. We live in a digital reality. It is the most defining aspect of our generation, of our era, that it is digital. And as Erlich Yidden, what is incumbent upon us, especially on this day of Tu B'Shvat, when we're talking about the Sraf, Ha'oila Be'ilam, we're talking about the type of internals that we need in order to give the correct external payers, it is important for us to remember to take our outlook on digital from technology from the Torah. Remember, Bereshis, Bishri Soshin, and Kureshis, this was placed here as a Nisayan. This, by the way, is the understanding of the words of Gedolei Yisrael, who call this the Nisayan Hadar, the defining Nisayan of generation. That's what it means. This is what our job here in Golis is right now, is to be aimed at this Nisayan. And so, Mirtz Hashem, on this Rosh Hashanah of the Paris Elon, Mirtz Hashem, we will have our own personal Rosh Hashanah. We'll be mechadish, the right machshavis, and then we'll bring forth the right Paris.
Did he leave a little...